Have here in terms of Shlishi of Parshas Truma is finally a discussion of the menorah, and then after the discussion of the menorah, we have discussion of the curtains that were woven, three or four of them, depending on the closest between Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemya, that constituted the roof of the Mishkan. So the first of these is called the Mishkan. Then there's the Ohel, which is made from goat's hair, and then there's either three or four. Rabbi Nechemya will say four. That there's Arose Leimio Odamim, so the skins of rams with a red dye, red dyed ram skins, and then Arose Techashim, talking about that as a special animal. Rabbi Yehuda said those were actually made together. So we'll come back to one little point about the four or three curtains that formed the roof of the Mishkan in just a few moments. Let's talk about the menorah. I mentioned yesterday it was a little bit surprising that the menorah doesn't come directly after the Aron, because the menorah is really an extension of the Aron. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. The menorah projects the light of Torah outside of the Kodesh Kadashim into the Kodesh. And here again, just like we talked about the Kruvim yesterday, we actually do find the halacha of miksha. Again, one solid block of metal applies not only to the Kruvim, but to the menorah as well. Yesterday we explained in the context of the Kruvim that it has to do with the fact that the Kruvim stands for the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. That's the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes, right? So, Fneyam Yishal Achiv, when we're getting along with Hashem. And so it's really that we're inextricably linked. It's not two different entities attached together mechanically, but there's a holistic unity here. And the same thing applies to the menorah, but with different symbolism. The menorah, as we know, represents the Torah, near mitzvah v'torah, or the Rambam actually says in the Beis HaMikdash that all of the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash were on one axis, and the menorah and the Aron were on a different axis, an east-west axis. So the menorah and the Aron are so deeply related to each other. So the fact that the menorah has to be made of miksha, and here I refer to the Ramban in Parshas Baluscha, where the Ramban says that's the only aspect of the construction of the menorah that's actually the ikuva, that's actually absolutely necessary. That even though menorah is described here as zahav or as constructed of gold, if you didn't have gold and you had to make it of silver, that would be okay. But it always has to be made of one piece. And I think this is symbolic of Torah. Of course, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Torah Hashem Timima Mishivas Navas. Timima means both perfect but also whole. That Torah, there's nothing in Torah, there are different branches of Torah. There's, just like the Kenei HaMenorah, six different branches of the menorah, in addition to the central branch for seven total branches. So there are different Chadrei HaTorah, different areas of Torah. There's Nezikin, there's Choshen Mishpat, there's Eben HaEzer, there's Family Law, there's Yoredeya, there's Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha, there's Erechayim, which is Tefillah, and Brachos, and Kriyat Shema, and the Shabbos, and the Mo'adim, etc. But in the final analysis, Torah Hashem Tmima, it's all holistic. And the Yerushalmi famously says, Divrei Torah Aniyim Bimekoman Ve'ashirin Bimakom Acher. That Torah, even if you find just a little bit over here, so you can learn a lot about it from a different place. That's why we have mechanisms like Zera Shava and Binyan Av and all the Midos Shatorah and the Drashas Bahem, all the different ways the Torah comes to be understood, because really the Torah is holistic. It's all connected. And that's why the halacha is that for a person to rule in one area of halacha, they have to be capable of ruling in every area of halacha. That to be mora in one area, you have to be ra'oi lahoros b'chol terukul. This doesn't mean if somebody asks you, do I have to say yalo v'yavo on Rosh Chodesh? Of course the answer is yes. You have to say yalo v'yavo on Rosh Chodesh. That's not a hora. When we talk about a hora, we're talking about somebody who's coming up with a novel psak halacha, so they have to sort of see it all. The same way that a doctor can't be a cardiologist if he didn't go to medical school and study anatomy and look at every ligament in the body and look at every bone in the body and get something of a holistic understanding, even if the average doctor doesn't remember everything from gross anatomy 10 years later after they specialize, the bottom line is you have to have a holistic understanding of the full sweep of Torah. And this idea of the menorah representing Torah and extending the light of the Aron outside of the Kodesh Kadosh, and the Aron had to be protected, is a very important idea. And we say again that miksha is the only aspect which is described, which is absolutely Liikuva, which is absolutely necessary. The Ramban goes on to say in Parshas Balos, Chavayas Kein Aaron, that Aaron was so moved by this idea of the menorah, right, which would transcend the rest of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, because as we know, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, not once but twice, so Karbanos weren't the essence, but just like we explained that the Aaron comes before the Mizbeach, because Torah is eternal, and we don't always have the Mizbeach, so the Ramban goes on to explain that Aaron came to understand that the menorah was really the most significant thing. And even though there's no halacha that the Kohen Gadol has to be the one to kindle the menorah, guess what? Guess who lit the menorah every single day? You got it. Aharon HaKohen. Okay? So that's a little bit in terms of the menorah. The second half of the third aliyah, as we mentioned, is devoted to the covers over the area of the Mishkan. Let's just review. The Mishkan was two different areas. You had the Kodesh Kadashim, which had the Aron covered by the Kapores and the Kruvim. And then you had the Kodesh. The Kodesh had three of the Klei HaMishkan. You had the Mizbeach HaKetores, which is actually fascinatingly the only Klei not in this week's parasha. You had the Shulchan, which we discussed yesterday. We made the argument that maybe it's stuck in between the Aron and the menorah to make the point of Ein Kemach Ein Torah, that the Shulchan represents the physical sustenance of the Jewish people, the Keser Malchus. And then we have the menorah right over here. So this whole area needed to be covered, and it was covered with three different levels, or four different levels of curtains. So the first level is called the Mishkan, everybody agrees. The second level is called the Ohel, that's made from goat hairs. And then the third level is called the Michseh, and there might be a fourth level, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the fourth level could be Oros Techashim. Don't worry so much about this debate between three and four levels. So one of the fascinating things is that the Ohel was actually four amos wider. It was 44 amos over the Mishkan. So the rabbis try to figure out, why do you need this overhang? Imagine that you had one curtain, imagine one bed sheet, and then you put a bed sheet on top of it. Remember, you're covering a bed, and the second bed sheet is hanging over on both sides. Okay? So what's that all about? So Rashi says something exceptionally beautiful. Rashi suggests that the reason that the second layer, the Ohel, right, went actually over and above the first layer, the Mishkan, is that it was a matter of tznius, that the overhang covered the entrance to this entire sanctified area. This is the Kodesh Kadashim. This is the Kodesh right here. It's all very sanctified and it's all very sacred. And Rashi gives the mashal of a kala. We know the kala covers her face. Shemechasa espaneha, right? She wears the veil over her face, right? In terms of tznius, kala na'a v'chasuda. So here we have a similar idea that the Mishkan represents, so to speak, the idea of the Jewish people and Hashem being married. It's not just a date. Her mom and her Sinai was a wonderful date. You know, and it was a remarkable thing. But this represents the marriage between Hashem and the Jewish people, and that tznius is so important, even within the context of this marriage. And that Hashem, who's going to dwell in the Jewish people, it's a very sacred thing. And the more sacred and cover something is, the more tznius is required. So this is really an idea of tznius, that the overhang of the second level would extend out these two amos, it would hang down in front of the entrance, really to make the point that Hashem is dwelling in our midst, but Hashem needs to be protected, so to speak, not in the physical sense, but the modesty of Hashem's presence dwelling in our midst. Just like a marriage, there are many things that are very private about a marriage, and spouses have to be able to share very intimate details of their lives with each other, but obviously not with anybody else. So that tznius is so fundamental to the relationship between Hashem and Jewish people, which is also in its own way predicated on a marriage. Okay.